Joe Johnson, welcome to Sunday Night at the TSO.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
It's been a while since you've been here, so we have some get-to-know-you questions for those who haven't heard your lovely voice over our airwaves.
Okay. Sounds good.
Do you have a favorite composer?
Ironically, it is Strauss. Richard Strauss? Yes, definitely Richard Strauss.
What is it about him?
I've played almost all of his tone poems for symphony. I've played a lot of his operas, some of his chamber music, and I just feel like every time I play his music, I'm completely satisfied emotionally, intellectually, physically. I think he was way ahead of his time. There's a clear story with all of his music, and it's very, very obvious to me, like, what is happening. And I've just always loved his music. And so if I had to pick, I mean, it's really hard to pick, but I do really love Richard Strauss.
Okay, on a completely different topic, your go-to drink on a night out?
It's always red wine. I'm pretty boring. So at this point in my life.
What's your dream piece to perform with an orchestra, either as a soloist or within the group?
It's this piece that I'm about to perform. It's Strauss's Don Quixote. I mean, again, it's just such an amazing piece and incredibly satisfying to play. And it's a piece that you can't play unless you're playing with an amazing orchestra.
What's your favorite place in Toronto and why?
My favorite place in Toronto, I would have to say, as I get older, I really love the sky and nature and trees and peace and quiet. So the ravine over by where I live, which is the Balfour Park, where I actually kind of saved me during COVID, spent a lot of time when we were in lockdown, but able to walk in that area, being in the middle of the city, which is something I think is amazing about this city, is all the green space that we have. But that is definitely summer or winter, probably my favorite place to be, or the Toronto Islands when it's nice out, because it's just an escape and amazing views. And
I don't know, there's something about when the ferry pulls away from the city, the vibration stops.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really something.
Yep.
So let's talk a bit about your musical background. You and I go back, full disclosure, people. Joe and I were at Eastman School of Music together way back. But before that, how did you get started in music?
I started playing the piano when I was 5 years old. My mom was a K-5 music teacher, and her mom was a piano teacher growing up in rural Indiana. So we kind of had music in the family, and I got to be really good on the piano. I started cello growing up in Chicago in the public school system. We were lucky enough to have that in our schools. So we could start string instruments in third grade and band instruments in fourth grade, and I didn't want to wait. So I actually started on the violin for about 4 days, and I have very sensitive skin, and it destroyed my neck.
the contact was yes, the wood. No way.
Yeah, and okay. So I switched to cello, and then it was kind of a battle growing up in junior high and high school with piano and cello. And honestly, my passion was with piano. I started studying with Hans Jensen at Northwestern in my freshman year of high school. And after about 5 months, he got really mad at me because I was practicing two instruments. And he said, you have to pick one. And so I quit the cello.
No way.
And fortunately, I was in the Chicago Youth Symphony all through high school. And my 11th year, I won the concerto competition on piano and got to play concerto with the orchestra in Orchestra Hall downtown Chicago. And our conductor was Michael Morgan, who was the assistant conductor of the Chicago Symphony at the time as well. And after that concert, he took me and my parents out for lunch and told me I had to quit piano and I had to find a really great cello teacher to kick my butt to get me into a conservatory, and then listed a whole bunch of reasons why.
Why? Why quit piano? You were obviously so good at it.
I was good, but I was more natural on the cello. And also there's a lot more opportunities, I think, to perform on the cello than there are on a piano. I'm a very social person, and that's one thing I love about playing the cello is you can play in an orchestra, which is incredibly social. You can play in chamber music, you can play solos, you can travel, you can teach. There's so many different things that you can do, but you can really get on stage. There's a lot more opportunity, I think. And he just felt very strongly about this, and he was my mentor sort of at the time, kind of the only sort of professional musical figure I knew. And deep down, I knew he was right, but I don't think that I would have switched if it hadn't been for him. I think I would have been stubborn and maybe found out, you know, halfway through university or something that, oh, I'm not going to be a very good piano player. So it's funny how you meet one person in your life and then all of a sudden the trajectory changes. And that's what happened to me in high school. And then I went to Eastman where we met. And yeah, I think maybe my second year of Eastman was when the light bulb kind of went off and I really started to love the cello and embrace it and learn how to practice and, you know, started on this journey of being a cello player through my life. So yeah, that's kind of my upbringing.
What a great story. How did you find yourself here in Toronto with the TSO?
My first job was in the section of the Minnesota Orchestra for 11 years, and then I was principal of Milwaukee Symphony for 3 years, and I got a call from the Toronto Symphony. They were looking for a principal cellist, and I think they had been looking for quite a while, like maybe 5 or 6 years, and asked if I would be interested in coming up to play an audition for Peter Ungen and the committee. And I had heard so many great things about the city and the orchestra, but I had never been up here. And so I thought, well, sure, why not? Let's go check it out. So I think I came up in February and I remember landing at Pearson. It was really cold, but I was struck by the vibe of the city and immediately fell in love with it. And the people here were so nice. And the timing of that audition was great because the weekend before I had just played 3 Dvorak concertos with the Milwaukee Symphony. So I was really kind of in this rip-roaring, ready-to-go shape. And yeah, came on stage, played the entire list, the audition list for Peter and the committee, and then they had me back for some trial weeks over the course of the year. And now, 14 years later, here we are.
That went by fast.
It went by really fast, which is... Yeah, I mean, life is crazy. It just goes by so fast. I can't believe I've been in an orchestra for 28 years. That's insane to me.
Wow. Well, coming up, you're going to play this dream piece that you yes. mentioned, the Don Quixote tone poem by Richard Strauss. Tell us a bit about the story behind this piece.
Sure. Well, it was written in 1897 by Strauss over the Cervantes book Don Quixote. It's a huge book. I tried to start reading it, but I just couldn't deal with the old language. And also it was like almost 1,000 pages and I knew it was futile. But it really is very descriptive and it's serious, it's comical. It divides the line between what is reality and what is in his mind. I play the role of Don Quixote and then there's the role of Sancho Panza, who's his sort of companion, travel companion, servant, whatever you want to call it, which is played by the viola mostly, but also the bass clarinet and I think the tenor horn a little bit. There's Dulcinea, the love interest, which is played by the principal oboe. It's so descriptive. Every cellist has to learn the hard parts of this piece to take any audition for principal cello. And it's just really nice to be able to play the entire thing with an orchestra. And when I said earlier that you have to play this piece with a great orchestra, you have to play this with a great orchestra. You have to have a huge orchestra. The parts are really hard, as most Strauss parts are. And it's big. It's like 43 minutes. Very intense. And it just tells the story of his travels and his things that happen to him, and it's very descriptive. There's a couple of funny moments where he is fighting an army in his mind, but it's really a herd of sheep, and you hear the sheep baaing like in the woodwinds and the horns, which really kind of was ahead of its time in terms of writing like that, I don't think any composer had ever gone that far. And you hear sort of the battle in the background, and it's combining these two themes together. He tries to attack a dragon, which is also really only a windmill. And the windmill picks him up, throws him in the air, and he lands on the ground. And yeah, the ending is sublime and incredible. It's at the end of his life, and he's reflecting, and I think he finds peace. And the cello ends with this last gasp, the last breath of Don Quixote, which I've practiced so much because I think it needs to be perfect. It needs to sound and feel like that's the last breath I'm going to take. It's pretty amazing.
Have you done this with orchestra before? Have you had the opportunity to play the entire thing?
I have. I did it with the Toronto Symphony with Sir Andrew Davis several years ago, and I've done it in Chicago with the Northwestern Symphony. Gustavo Jimeno, our music director now, came to me maybe a couple of years ago, and he said, okay, you know, what do you want to do? What do you really want to play? And I said, I really want to play Don Quixote. because I can go on the road and play Dvorak and Elgar and all of these kind of standard cello concertos, but I can't play Don Quixote unless I have an orchestra of the caliber of Toronto Symphony. And it's a piece that just never gets old, and it's super fun to play.
Are you excited about working with him on this one?
I am. I'm excited because I think it's the first time he's ever done it. He's going to have a different take on it. He's going to be, I mean, he's always very well studied and excited. I love working with him. There's an intensity about Gustavo that he brings to every rehearsal and every concert. And but he's also very flexible. And, you know, we have two opportunities to perform in concert. And I just can't wait to be able to play it with somebody who I know will have my back. But also, if I want to do something differently or stretch something out or, you know, the ending, it's just one of those moments, the ending of this piece, it's one of those moments where you sit and you think, this is why I play the cello. It's so beautiful. It's a 10 out of 10 for Strauss, beautiful writing. There should be not a dry eye. And certainly coming from me, I will be very emotional playing it. Having Gustavo there, you just feel like this comfort, like you can just play how you want to play and it's going to be great. Not only Gustavo, but the orchestra, because they know the piece really well. And I think it's fun when we get to perform with our own soloists. There's an extra level of sort of care and attention and love coming from the stage. Whenever I get to, you know, lucky enough to play concertos with the orchestra, they always have my back. And it just feels nice to walk on stage and see all these smiling, friendly faces.
Well, Joe Johnson, thank you so much for joining us, and all the best for what's no doubt going to be some beautiful performances of the Strauss.
Thank you very much.